Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, one guy who was really ticked off that basically the Golf Channel wasn't showing golf yesterday morning is our friend Nick Costos. He's Radio.com sports betting insider, host of You Better You Bet, which you can get right on Radio.com. It is awesome. He does a great job. Whenever I think sports gambling or think trends, I go right to @TheCostos on Twitter and see what he's melting down about. Nick, good morning. What's going on?
What's going on, Sean and Bogues? Great to be on with you guys. Hope you and your families are staying safe. And, of course, to the great listeners as well. Me, it's been an interesting Friday morning. I turn the television on and already I see my money evaporating in front of me as Jordan Spieth hitting tee shots into the drink. Not good. Hopefully he can get it going.
So before we get into some big picture stuff, what was your actual non-Twitter real-life anger yesterday when you're looking to throw on some golf and Golf Channel's not even showing it as we have real-life sports in front of us?
Well, I mean, it would be like, you know, like you go to Burger King and there are no hamburgers. Like, I literally don't understand what the existence of the Golf Channel is if they're not showing golf. So, like, you know, like, here's the deal. You know, like, I love all sports. You know, I've known you for a little bit, Sean. I've known Bogish for a ridiculously long time. Like, it makes me feel really old. And I'm a fan of all sports. Golf was one of those sports that I never really, like, got super-duper into. I would just kind of, like, parachute in for the Sundays of majors or maybe watch, like, the entire Masters tournament. But now that I'm really getting into it, now that there's the team sports aren't back yet, and I'm realizing how much fun betting on golf is, like, it's really fantastic, and it's kind of become, like, an obsession of mine. So, actually, I'm seeking out golf for the first time on a Thursday morning, and you would think that with the golf tournament happening, like, a live PGA Tour event is actually happening, there are no other sports, you would think it would be on TV. Lo and behold, I turn on the Golf Channel and they're showing the 2019 KPMG LPGA Tour again. Like, so I ask, what is the point of the existence of the Golf Channel if they are not showing real live actual golf? They want more of my money during a pandemic. It's not enough that I have to pay for the Golf Channel when they're not showing golf. Now I have to pay more money to actually watch the golf. So yeah, that was a big annoyance yesterday, but maybe a blessing in disguise today so I don't have to watch my money being lost by Jordan Spieth, that jerk.
It has never made sense because you're not alone in this debate about the Golf Channel because they're not even showing anything like different and live. They're showing reruns of other tournaments. Plus, there are video feeds. There are mini TV broadcasts of the tournament on a Thursday morning. And especially in this right now, why would you not give me actual golf at the moment on Golf Channel? It has never made sense, and it makes even less sense the way things are going right now.
You know, it would be like, honestly, if you got like a browser subscription and like you sat down to watch a video and it was like a man and a woman drinking coffee. It's like, what's the point? Like, why do you exist? False advertising. Give me my golf, damn it.
All right. Well, I know that there is so much time still between now and the restarts of the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball that it's impossible to give actual bets. But on some big picture stuff here, Nick. Do you think in a weird way that Vegas might be, and by Vegas, I just mean sports betting in general, might be more ripe for the picking than ever as they maybe take some time to readjust to the new world of new lines and players' mentalities and quarantines and no home court, no home ice advantage, that the going might be the best we've ever seen it for trying to win money on sports bets, this immediacy of the return of sports?
I kind of hate to give you like a waffling answer here, but no one really knows. Like, I could tell you yes, I could tell you no, I could stand on the table and make a strong case either way, but no one really knows how this is going to go here. What I can tell you is that like all the really sharp handicappers out there that are modeling games and looking for a mathematical edge, like quote unquote Vegas, like will bake that kind of stuff into the line. So it's not like Vegas, quote unquote, is going to get taken by surprise, right? So they're going to be prepared for kind of like how this is going to go, the way people are going to be betting on games here. So I don't really know if there's going to be a huge advantage or not. I mean, I tend to think probably not, because I think this is something important to remember, right? Now more than ever, and actually I was worried when the pandemic started, just in the industry, like, I don't know how this industry is going to look on the other side. I don't know how long this is going to go for here, but I feel like it looks like now, knock on wood, and there is some wood in front of me, thankfully for me to knock on, that I think that the gambling space is going to come out of the pandemic almost stronger than it was going into it. Like, states are going to legalize because they're going to need revenue. And I think people are itching to kind of put money down and watch a sporting event here. So you're going to have a lot of people betting on sports, maybe more than we've ever seen before here. So casual money is going to be in there. People don't really know what they're doing. So I'm kind of reticent to say it'll be good or bad either way. I think that we'll probably be able to pick out fairly quickly, like, some really important trends, you know, like we're seeing in soccer right now, that home field advantage means absolutely nothing in soccer with no fans in the stadium. So we'll be able to pick up on it, you know, fairly quickly, but right out of the jump, I just think it's very tough to say one way or the other.
Now, Nick, knowing you for, as you said, an unfortunate amount of time, I think yes. It might actually be like 1999 or 2000. Nick was at my wedding. Like, that's how far back we go and how good friends we are. I'm shocked to find you betting on golf specifically, but it makes a little sense. Anything else that you found yourself wagering money on in the shutdown that you would have never thought you would have bet on to begin with?
Well, I did for a couple days Korean baseball, just because it was like – it was like, honestly, like, we're in like the desert. I'm like Lawrence of Arabia. I'm in the desert and like there's no water. And then like I see the Oasis, and the Oasis is Korean baseball. It's something to bet on. There's team sports going on. So I think I stayed up the first like day or two, like, and I'm up at like, and I remember like sitting there and it's like 2 a.m. and I want to say it was Eric Thames. It was a player that's in America now that like mashed in Korea for like 2 years ago or something. And they did like a 45-minute interview with Eric Thames while I'm sweating like the Doosan Tigers game, and I'm thinking, and it's like 2:30 in the morning on the East Coast, and I'm thinking like, there has got to be like I should go like jog around the block or like read a book or do something to better my life right now. Like I can't be sinking to these depths watching Eric Thames be interviewed by Carl Ravitch during the Doosan Tigers game at 2:30 in the morning. So I did Korean baseball for like 2 days, and then I ejected out of that. So I really actually took a couple months and kind of took it off from gambling. It was nice. And then when Justin Rose on 18 at the Colonial, the first golf tournament back, I had him as an outright, and he missed the birdie on 18 to get into the playoff with Morikawa and Berger. And then I remembered, oh, wow, like, sweats actually sometimes are not that fun, and maybe the break was good for me.
Nick Costos is Radio.com sports betting insider. He has to show you bet on Radio.com. Nick, it's funny you just mentioned that. The other night I had my sister and her boyfriend were over, and another friend of mine as well. You know, very safe in the backyard. I have a little sports bar I've built in my backyard, and we were watching.
Don't you love, by the way, how like you have to qualify that? Oh, like we were very safe. Like, you guys could have been on top of each other. I don't care. I mean,
right? But people get offended. People get offended. Oh, you're not taking it seriously, and I just hunker down in your house.
How about this? I want to hang out with my friend's guy. Shut up and let me do my thing, and you do yours.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So basically, that was the deal. We end up throwing on. This is after the Belmont, which we all got into. We all bet. And it's Heat Spurs game 7. I forget which year it was, but that was the point. The two buddies I was with didn't remember which year it was, and they decide not only to bet the outcome of whether that was the game the Spurs or Heat won, they're basically betting, you know, next shot, next bucket, like buck a piece, five a piece. They were betting on a game that happened at least 7 years ago. Did you find yourself at any point during this pandemic with all these classic games being seen, finding a game or finding somebody where you didn't remember the outcome, you didn't remember what happened, and you're turning around like a real degenerate and betting something to do with that game?
No, I think, and Bogus can kind of back this up, like, my memory is like so photographic with sports that, like, I knew as soon as you said that, like, the Heat and Spurs played 2 finals. The Spurs won 1-5. The Heat won 1-7. So, like, the Heat won that game 7 following the Ray Allen 3-pointer. So, like,
great point.
I can't get involved in stuff. Me, personally, I can't. And that sounds like a humble brag. It's not meant to be. But, like, I kind of remember all the outcomes of these games. So, like, the classic games really, like, held no appeal for me. Like, I can't sit down and watch a game that I remember, like, exactly what happened. Like, it does absolutely nothing for me. But, look, I used to get stoned in college and bet on Legends of the Hidden Temple with my friends. So I certainly understand, you know, the thought process behind wanting to bet on stuff. So I'm not going to hate on your friends here. I'm really not. But that the classic game is just honestly just not for me.
Yeah, and I'm the complete opposite. Sean says Heat Spurs. I go, oh, who was on that Heat team? That's just like if the game happens yesterday and it goes right out of my head, so I could easily be swindled in betting like that. Nick, let's go back to, you know, what's to come. And I don't know if this is too general of a question, but what's a good bet right now in terms of futures? Do you care about baseball over-unders? Can you pick an NBA winner? Or do you just still not have a feel yet of where you should put your money on things?
Well, futures, I think, are going to be really tough. And really what I'm looking to do, and I will give a cheap plug to You Better You Bet, which everyone should check out wherever you find podcasts. What we're trying to do is kind of get ourselves set, like get actionable information, develop kind of a philosophy of how we're going to handicap games moving forward here. So I'm not going to BS you guys, and I do a lot of radio spots, and I get asked, you know, what's your bet right now? And as of right now, like, I've got some bets that are carrying over pre-pandemic. I have a Rockets bet to win the NBA title. I've got a Tampa Bay Lightning bet to win the Stanley Cup. But as of right now, I'm not looking to put stuff in at this second here. Like, I kind of want, like, I know kind of what I'm going to do with the National Hockey League. Like, this year in the NHL, I don't know if you guys agree or not. I know you guys are both big hockey fans, but we've had a couple big hockey handicappers on the show, and they all seem to think that, like, that there's a pretty big, like, drop between the best teams to, like, the mid-level teams and then the worst teams. So value at the teams at the top. So I'm going to look at a lot of those teams. Calgary over Winnipeg is the first-round matchup I've heard is going to be really good for the Calgary Flames unless Connor Hellebuyck can stand on his head. So I've got kind of, like, how I'm going to bet this. But until I know what the format is going to be, like, where are they going to play? How is this going to go? I think it's really tough to kind of, like, to say, like, I feel really strong about this. So I need a little more time before I, like, officially put these bets in. But that's how I'm going to look to do it in the National Hockey League. In the NBA, I think I'm looking at defense. Like, and I think, you know, I love the Lakers all season, but it's going to be tough to go against the Clippers. You know, one thing I would not do, you know, take a look at the price for the Milwaukee Bucks right now. It's like the same that it was basically pre-pandemic, and there's no home court advantage now. So I definitely wouldn't look at Milwaukee. There's no way I would do that. And I guess that kind of, you know, goes against the Lakers and the Clippers as well, because, again, similar pre-pandemic prices, but no home court advantage moving forward now. So I think we may have to mine for value down the board in the NBA. And in Major League Baseball, I think this is something that people are just going to have to realize, right? 60-game season, we are going to see more variance than we've ever seen before. And what does that mean? We're going to see one of these big teams that everyone is just, like, expecting to make the playoffs. One of these teams, like, statistically, mathematically, is probably going to miss the postseason. We have to try and figure out which team that is. I'm not saying it's going to be like the Yankees or Dodgers, the two teams with the best odds, but I think we're going to see at least one of these big teams miss the playoffs. Remember, last year's World Series champion, guys, the Washington Nationals, 60-game record, 27-33 to start the season. So we're going to see some wild and wacky stuff in Major League Baseball.
Radio.com sports betting insider Nick Kostos. Nick, one thing I am looking ahead to with the NBA and NHL as far as a betting trend or something I'm going to want to jump all over is the idea in these quarantine bubbles where you're already hearing players question it left and right. I feel like if I see a team go up 2-0 or even 3-0, I am going all in on quicker, shorter series and betting that team that's up, thinking that team who's down is going to have a mentality of just get me out of here, where in real life, normal circumstances, you're back home, playing in front of the home crowd. All right, let's play for pride, play for the next day. Let's see one game at a time, chip away. I feel like we're going to see less of that mentality and more guys going, you know what, get me the heck out of this bubble. I've had it. We're done anyway. And I'm going to load up on teams who are already up 2-0 and then 3-0 and just try to make money, even though they'll be heavy favorites anyway.
Well, you know, I kind of feel like, look, I have to kind of be like the responsible person here. And like, I do a lot of the, like, gambling kind of like, that's like kind of like emotional gambling, right? Narrative based gambling where you're like trying to get inside people's heads and being like, oh, well, this team's got nothing to play for anymore. I'm going to bet the other side. Well, you might win there. But again, that's like a narrative bet. Like, you really have like an edge with that bet. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. That doesn't mean that I won't do the same thing, but I would probably advise you to try trying to look for like some sort of better angle than this team's down 2-0. There's a pandemic going on. They want to get home to their families because it's really tough to get inside the heads of these guys and like judge like what their motivation is. I think it probably differs from person to person. So I'm not trying to throw cold water on it. I bet on Jordan Spieth this weekend knowing he kind of stinks just because I like to ride the roller coaster. So I understand it. I just can't really recommend it.
What can you bet on, by the way, in golf besides just a winner? What else is there underneath that?
Well, I think that, you know, the outright market is a lot of fun, like when you pick the winner, and like a lot of people, including me, won last week with Webb Simpson, and that was a blast, and I was in it in Colonial with Justin Rose up until literally the last hole on the last day. But outright is not really an efficient way to make money. There are so many golfers, obviously, and, you know, so many golfers are really good now. So that market's really tough. You know, I think the way to really make money in golf, top 20s, head-to-head matchups, like places where you think you can find an edge, right, where, you know, I think I've got a top 20 on Mark Leishman that I think is, you know, paying 2-1. So, and I think he had a really good day yesterday. So top 20s are good. Head-to-head matchups are good where you can, like, that, because it's like a double edge that way when you bet the head-to-head, because then you can bet on a guy that you like and fade a guy that you don't like, and you can take different things into account with that. Like, are they playing early in the morning when the course isn't chopped up? I saw Colin Wilson of the Action Network, a good friend of You Better You Bet, talking about that yesterday. So I think that there are some markets in golf that don't get kind of the same spotlight that the outright betting does, because the outright market is so fun. But like top 20s, head-to-head, those are, I think, where the money is really to be made when it comes to betting on golf.
Nick Kostos is Radio.com Sports Betting Insider. Check out You Better You Bet wherever podcasts are available, and Radio.com as well. You can follow him on Twitter as his heats up, and follow his golf roller coaster ride all weekend long at The Kostos. Nick, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, I think unfortunately the bolts weren't tightened enough on the roller coaster, and I think the speed coaster's off the rails at this point. So I'll have to find something else to sweat this weekend. Guys, appreciate it. You and your families, great listeners. Everyone, continue to stay safe. And until next time, I am wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, and the absolute very best of luck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.